Welcome back. It's Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's, as we broadcast from the Fan Studios out here at the Hole in One Challenge, brought to you by Lexus and the Fan. Take your shot at a hole in one and your chance to win several different prizes. If you come out here and do that, be sure to take advantage of that. Joining us now on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, he is everyone's favorite, Tim Dillard from FanDuel Sports Network, Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Dillard. How are you doing, Mr. Dillard? I do not hear Tim Dillard.
Just Tim Dillard.
Oh, there we go. I got you now. I got you.
Still good?
Yeah, we're all set. It was totally my fault. It's all good. Okay, Tim Dillard. Jacob Mazurowski, you've seen him three times. Two was really good. Now we've seen him a third time. I don't know, man. Like, I said after the first start, and he pitched really well, I was like, he can pitch better. Like, that wasn't his best. After the second start, I was like, okay, that's a lot closer to probably what he looks like when he's really going. And then yesterday, you saw him with, I don't know if I want to say it's pressure, but definitely in a situation where it's showtime, kind of, where all eyes are kind of on you, to the point where he stopped going on social media because everything was about him and Skeens. How did you think he did in that situation going up against Skeens?
Yeah, I think he did fine. I think in all of his starts, I would say 90% of starting pitchers in the big leagues would take one or all of his starts. They're all have been fantastic. The guy's given up three hits, and he has three wins, so...
Yep.
I don't know what else you can say. And in the big moment, guys like that that have been dealing with some of the spotlight for this long, because you can't have stuff like that and not have some sort of a spotlight. But I think he's handled it very well. I think he's handled it perfectly. And I think it's really cool to see the team knowing that, hey, all we got to do is score a run or two, and this guy is going to lead us to victory because they know how good he is.
This wasn't in play when you were playing, but they put this in play a couple of years ago, two, 3 years ago, where now if a player makes the top three in rookie of the year, they essentially can give back a year of service time and get to free agency a year earlier at that point. Now, from that standpoint, if you're the Milwaukee Brewers, does that come into mind here as you're looking about how you're going to kind of go through the rest of the season here? Because, as we all know, they are a small market. If he gets to free agency, odds are if he's pitching this well, they'll never be able to re-sign him. So is it Brandon Woodruff comes back, we send him back down to AAA and kind of take him out of this race for a few starts or whatever, and then when we bring him back up, we'll say we're conserving innings, and we'll pitch him out of the bullpen and kind of take him right out of things from being in that race? Because right now, as we sit after three starts, I mean, he's number one based on everything you look around. Everybody's like, he's going to win NL Rookie of the Year unless something crazy happens.
I mean, a lot can happen between now and the end of the season. I doubt the Brewers are thinking that far ahead in that regard. I mean, to me, it's a lot of speculation for no reason. They got good starters. They're going to pitch. As long as they're winning, they don't care about anything else. If you win in the big leagues, you win. That's all they're trying to do. If he's going to help them do that, if they feel like he can help them do that, then he'll be starting. No question about that. If Woodruff comes back and they feel like they can, if he can help them win, then they'll make a move. But they're going to go with the five guys that they feel like are going to be the best in that rotation. Maybe six man. Who knows what's going forward? But if they're not going to try to do anything other than win baseball games.
See, and that is something else that has not been brought up yet, and I keep bringing it up because I'm the only one talking about this. But normally, you have a innings limit when you're coming up through the minors where, you know, you pitch 97, 98 innings. Normally, it's, what, 20, 25% increase from year to year. You don't want to have some type of crazy increase because of the elbow, the shoulder, whatever. So he's at 97 innings last year. He's at around 80 innings as we currently speak. So if we're thinking it gets to 125 or 130, five innings an outing, that's about 10 outings. That's fine. That's like one outing a week between now and the end of the season. That does not include the playoffs. That does not include him pitching twice in a week if they keep him on a every four-day type deal, which is what they had him coming off of here. I think that's something else that has to be considered, too, as far as how they're going to handle him moving forward, because I would think as a fan or as an owner or as GM, if he's pitching like this, you want him in your playoff rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I think they want him to pitch every 5 days. Every time he's available to take the ball, they're probably going to give it to him. Say that for all the guys that they feel like are going to be in the starting rotation. But, you know, they do these things throughout the season. It starts in spring training. They'll measure a lot of the degrees on how your arm moves, your shoulder moves, your elbow. They'll test your strength and things like that to get a baseline of where you are to start the season. And then about every month, they'll go through and do all the measurements again to see if there's any wear and tear, to see if you're having issues in any certain facet of that. And then, again, test your strength. And then now they have all the stat casts. They have all the, you know, analytical stuff on how fast you throw, the movement of your pitches. So it's not so much as a, hey, you good to go. It's like they can monitor all of this stuff without even having to, do anything other than monitor his health. If they want him to go 150 innings, then so be it. If he wants to do that and the numbers point towards, hey, there's no sign of fatigue here in any way. I mean, I think they're going to be safe. They're going to be smart, but I don't know if this is the time to worry about it. I mean, I feel like for the foreseeable future, he's the guy that's going to get the ball every 5 days and put the team in a position to win.
He is Tim Dillard. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. I didn't realize they did all that stuff every month, like you just said. So that was educational. I don't think most fans probably knew that, but that's,
they used to do it,
good to hear.
Yeah, they used to do it at the beginning of the year, and they started doing it like halfway through the season. And then they would do it at the end of the year and kind of see. But then they realized, why don't we just do this every single month? It's not too intrusive. It used to be, it used to be like, they're trying to bend your arm backwards and stuff, and you're like, man, I don't want to do this. I'm in the middle of a season.
Right.
But the way they do it, it's very safe, and they keep a log on all that because they can go back and look at other years and things like that and just see the progression. They're monitoring all sorts of stuff, which is really cool.
Okay, now here comes a tricky one, and I don't know which way you're going to answer this, but I'm curious because you're a former player, so you've been through this. You're not a fan. Last year, Paul Skeens gets to the All-Star game, starts the All-Star game, 11 starts. That's all it was, 11 starts. It looks like if they continue on the way they're going, Mizorowski will get two more starts, probably the Mets and probably the Dodgers based on how this plays out between now and the All-Star break. That would give him five. Is five starts enough to make a case to put him into the All-Star game if you're Major League Baseball?
I mean, I think it would be cool, but if that's the case, then you're probably robbing a guy that has probably had, 16 to 20 starts of that's good in the big leagues and helping their club. It might be unfair to a lot of those guys that maybe deserve to get in there. I don't even know if five is enough. I don't even know the qualifications. I feel like there is some sort of qualification that you got to have. We can't just, say, hey, this guy's good, throw him in the All-Star game. I don't know. I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions, but I look at it as there's somebody that's been doing it all season long and putting together a really good season. You got to reward that.
He is Tim Dillard again, FanDuel Sports Network analyst. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Let's talk about this offense. Christian Yelich is just unbelievable right now. I mean, this June that he's putting up 360, 370 for a week or two is impressive. To do it for an entire month, the way Yelich is doing it right now. We talked about it the other day. He's getting himself back into that territory, probably where he's become that feared hitter again, where when he comes up, you're kind of looking like, who's behind him? Do we have a base open? Do we really want to deal with this guy? And it's, I don't want to slam Christian Yelich, but it's been a minute since, it's been that type of way when you look at Christian Yelich in a lineup.
I mean, not really. He was an all-star starter last year, so... I mean,
it's true.
Good.
And then he got hurt.
He was good last year, before he was injured. So, and even when he's not going his best, pitchers are still knowing he is Christian Yelich. I think what's more even amazing, the production's been amazing, but he's been playing every single day. And I think, he was probably apprehensive at first about being just the solid DH, but I think he's figured it out. Jeff Levering said this on the broadcast the other day. There's an art to being a designated hitter. I truly believe that. There's some guys that can absolutely do it. There's people that cannot. And I think he's figured out whatever he has to do to be at his best every single at-bat. And it was a process for him, I would say. I don't think he was out of the gate sure like how all this is going to work. But now every time he goes to the plate, you stop what you're doing and you got to watch because he's going to do something pretty magical.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it again yesterday against Skeens. I mean, they didn't have great contact. Yelich said I thought was relatively solid contact there. I mean, Haas had that blooper that kind of fell in no man's land. Cruz tried for it. But that's all you need. When you're facing a guy that good, Tim, and you've got your own guy, like we talked about, the Mizorowski going, you're just trying to figure out any way to scrap a couple of runs in, even if you don't score after that. Like Pat Murphy was saying, you know, our offense maybe wasn't necessarily the best, but it was good enough. And from that perspective, when you talk about this Brewers offense, I think it was Isaac Collins who said, that's Brewers baseball, man. That's how we do it. We just try and figure out a way to win. And maybe that's that edge or whatever Pat Murphy was looking for is something that I think they've been playing with here now for a minute, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, something like that.
Well, I mean, you know, if you have a team that lives and dies by the home run, you will either live or die. There's really no in between. And the Brewers have found a way to score runs in a lot of different ways. They can beat you with speed. They can beat you by just not swinging the bat and walks. That was the case a little bit yesterday. And then they just get rewarded by putting the ball in play. Because of them taking extra bases and stealing bases and taking their walks, suddenly they got multiple people on base. And if that changes the defense, that plays into the favor of the hitter. So all this stuff is connected. Yes, home runs are awesome. But the other day, I think in a span of 4 games, they had 6 sacrifice flies, which means they are very conscious of guys on base, and they are very aware that they need to get them in no matter what. I mean, Bryce Terang's had a couple of drag bunts. We're seeing other guys push bunt the ball. They actually did bunting practice on the field the other day, and it was pretty amazing, these guys, what they work on and what they're trying to do. So, yeah, they have speed. They have the personnel that can put the ball in play. So lean into that, because if your whole lineup's trying to hit home runs off Paul Skeens, that is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So you're going to take what you can get, put the ball in play, and put a lot of pressure on the defense and the pitcher. And that's what we saw in the, what was it, second inning, I think, yesterday.
Yep. Second inning got 4 runs. Yep. That's another good question, I guess, I have for you. Does this team with Murphy work on bunting in those situations more than other managers that you've seen or been around at this level?
I think so. I feel like it was last year. I feel like there was more PFPs with pitchers. There was more bunting practice. There was base running practice. I mean, they're doing all this stuff in such a way that they make sure it's fresh. And I mean, when I was coming up, we barely did any of that. Maybe once a month. And I would even say when Craig Counsell was managing, maybe once a month you would see guys out there. I remember Josh Hader one time, I talked to him after doing PFP. He's like, man, I'm winded. He's like, I haven't done PFP since spring training. And that kind of stuck with me, because I was like, yeah, I mean, when do you ever working on this kind of stuff? And now what we're seeing is almost once a homestand, or maybe once a series, that you see this kind of emphasis on. It's not small ball. Small ball is the wrong word. It's fundamentally sound, because the situation may arise where whoever it is can think a little differently. Hey, we need a base hit right here. Maybe we need a walk. And then all of a sudden you have a lefty falling off towards the third base dugout. Well, if you can, you know, drag a bunt to the right side, that's an easy play. And we've seen it work for the Brewers all season long, really.
He is Tim Dillard. He is the best. He joins us Thursdays at 3:20 here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's here on The Fan. Thank you so much. Enjoy watching you on TV. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Taylor, and next Thursday, buddy, hopefully we'll be talking about the first place Brewers.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'm monitoring the Cubs Cardinals right now. I'm not sure. I have,
what's the score?
I've been talking to you. you know, you distracted me a little bit. top 8, 2-0 Cubs. So we'll see what happens.
Sounds good. Your stalker said hi. You have a stalker, okay. Tim Dillard? Two of them.
Which one is it?
The tattoos. She set the tattoos.
I have no idea.
Dude, equally my appreciation hat last year or something like that. I don't know. They know you very well. So I just passing the luck out here at Summerfest. Tim Dillard, thank you so much.
That's awesome. There he goes. Thanks for having me, Sparky.